over the world. It began as a one-off episode of the BBC's Comedy Playhouse, a sort of tryout of new programmes which may or may not work. That was in 1973, after continuing its first series. It was so successful, it's still there, as I say, 30 years on. Joining me now is the producer of Last of the Summer Wine, Alan J. Bell. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Are you well?
Yes, we're doing well. We've been filming for a week now and everything's good. The rain has kept at bay, so we're happy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the remarkable thing about the programme. It always looks... I mean, I've got friends in the other part of the country and they say to me, it's always sunshine in Yorkshire, of course, but you know otherwise.
Well, I've seen the inside of more buses and caravans than most people in Yorkshire, but we wait for the rain to stop. So we generally have good weather, actually. It doesn't rain that much. Having said that, of course, it will for the next 4 weeks.
That's right. Now you've tempted fate. Why do you think the programme has actually stood the test of time and stayed there? Because the world has changed. Yeah. Programmes have got faster, they've got livelier, they've got gizmos and gadgets and stuff like that. And yet the programme has stayed the same and has still held its audience.
Yeah, well, I think it's that very simplicity of production that makes it so popular, that there are no gizmos, there's no special effects, very few special effects. It's just plain fun, good family fun. I get letters from old people saying they love it because it shows them what they could do were they able to go out into the countryside as our three characters can. And also they can sit and watch it with their family, their grandchildren, and really have a good clean laugh, that's the main thing.
Yes, I mean,
sorry to interrupt you, but I mean, the thing is, I watch television, I get terribly offended by it. I just don't like it. I don't see why you should have that sort of obscenity on television.
But then, equally, there are very few programmes which actually manage to stay clean and straight and inoffensive and actually pull in the audience.
Yeah, well, that is Roy Clark's genius, our writer. I mean, he's gifted without any question about that, because the greatest thing I have to look forward to every year is getting the 10 episodes. And it's like reading, they are so funny to read. We know the characters, we can imagine them. It's good fun. Even on paper, it's good, clean fun. Good jokes, and so much character written into all the into the characters themselves, so much characterization. He's a genius.
What were you doing in 73 when the first episode was done? What were you doing then? Can you remember that?
Yeah, I can. I was in the building at Television Centre. I was working on Morecambe and Wise as an assistant producer, and I looked through the gallery window. They have an observation gallery window, and saw this. And I thought, that's very interesting, so I shall watch the whole programme when I get home. And of course, early days, it was on late at night because they never thought it would be a generally popular show. It was cleverly written, but they thought it probably had a very limited audience. But, of course, you probably know it was the ITV strike, I think it was 1978, that drove viewers to watch it. That nobody would watch a programme about three old men. But when there was nothing else to watch, they had to watch a programme about three old men. And they were very surprised at what they saw. And our audience is almost tripled overnight.
But if I came along today with an idea with, three old men and a woman with wrinkly stockings or whatever, and it was set in a West Yorkshire village, and took it to some, BBC chief, they'd laugh you out the door, wouldn't they?
They would. They wouldn't be interested. But that was the good thing about the old BBC. I say it's old BBC and new BBC, forgive me for saying that, but old BBC, they would say to producers, make the programme and let's see whether it works or not. And they trusted the judgment of the producer or the head of comedy or whoever it was. Now it's all committees. It's committees decide, and they will go for the lowest common denominator. I mean, anyone comes in with a format script with a well-known pub comic is going to get away with it. They're going to have a series about it. If you come in with something about, as you say, three old men walking through the countryside being philosophical, they would say you're joking.
Well, it is a most extraordinary, extraordinary story. And I mean, it just looks, and you always sound, whenever I speak to you, always sound so happy. It looks as if it's a fun programme to work.
It is fun. It is fun. And don't forget, it's always changing. We Bill passed away, Bill Owen, who played Compo. Sadly, Gordon Wormby passed away this year. And miraculously, we have another person who was joining at that time. I don't know if you read it in the papers. It's Bert, how do you say your name?
Quok.
Quok. quack, quack. He's sitting on a wall at Jackson Bridge with me now, a very uncomfortable wall. Would I have a few words with Bert Quack?
Yes, okay.
You remember Bert? He was the gymnast in the Peter Sellers film.
I do.
Not too long. Tell him how good I am.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bert.
I have to tell you that being in Last of the Summer Wine is quite different from being in the Pink Panther movie.
I'm sure that it is. But also, you see, you didn't have Alan Bell as your producer in the Pink Panther movies, did you?
That is true. Perhaps I should have. I won't tell Blake Edwards that.
I mean, You play an electrician from Hull who just happens to turn up in the village. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, and it's not explained. He just turns up. He's there. And he wanders around with these guys and occasionally gives forth with words of Far Eastern wisdom.
Mm. Where are you supposed to be from? Well, where are you from yourself, Bert?
Me? Mm. I grew up in a place called Shanghai, which, as every school person knows, is on the east coast of China.
Absolutely.
I was born in Manchester.
Were you
Yeah, but I have no childhood memory of that whatsoever, because I left when I was about 10 months old. And I didn't get back to Britain until I was in my sort of middle 20s.
Isn't that wonderful?
So I came here as a foreigner, really.
Right. What I want to know is how come the producer of Last of the Summer Wine didn't even know how to pronounce your surname? That's terrible.
Well, because the actual Chinese pronunciation of my name is something nobody can get a handle on.
What is it?
So therefore no... Well, now you can't say that, can you?
Say it again.
It's... Kok.
Kok.
Nah, nobody can say that.
No, nobody can.
So this is what's so confusing about my surname.
Well, listen, everybody knows you as a very well-respected actor, and as Alan was saying there, of course, for the Clouseau
yes.
films many years.
Well, thank you, and it is a total delight and honour to be appearing in a national television institution like Last of the Summer Wine.
Were you a viewer before you got a part in it?
Was I what?
Were you a watcher, a viewer of the programme?
Well, I haven't watched every episode over the last 30 years.
No, I didn't mean every episode.
But I have watched it occasionally through, from the days when Michael Bates was in it. The first lot of six, I think. I watched some of them. Mm. And over the years, yes, I have watched them every now and again. So I'm aware of the series, yes.
Listen, it's good to talk to you. Is Alan still with you?
I'll pass you back to Alan. Just
Bert, we salute you. Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers.
Take care.
There, you had Bert for no extra money.
He's wonderful, isn't he? Was an inspired... Was that your idea?
No, it was Roy Clark. He brought this character, Entwistle, in for a couple of episodes. And, of course, like most of the people on the programme, when they're good, we tend to keep them. I mean, it just gets silly, but no, he's marvellous, and he's playing this Chinaman who has an electrical business and a lot of philosophical sayings, which of course rubbish, but no, he's a wonderful character. I think everyone will like him.
He's probably the youngest one in it, isn't he?
Well, we were working that out the other day. Ken Kitson and Tony Capstick reckon they are, but I don't think so. We haven't done an age count yet.
Right.
So I think I'm the youngest on the production.
You
I lie about my age, by the way.
Of course you do, and you're a cheeky little thing. Well, it's a of course today there's some celebrations going on tonight.
Yeah,
and
yeah, well, this is something I find really touching. Here's this town in West Yorkshire, little home Firth and the home Valley, and you would think they'd be saying, "Get out of our town, and we cause so much disruption. We hold up the traffic. We get in people's way. It's an inevitable part of filming." And here they are putting on this event to celebrate us being in existence for 30 years, which I think is really touching. It really is. I think if it had been a showbiz thing, it'd be people slapping each other on the back. But this is genuine people, genuine Home Valley people who have just coming along to say thank you and well done, which is nice.
But the other thing is that you must have endeared yourself to the area greatly, because people always speak fondly, they never moan. And look at Bill. I mean, Bill said he sort of I don't know where he was from, but he wanted to.
London, East Acton, anyway, not quite Cockney.
I was going to say it was London somewhere, Acton, whatever. But he wanted to end up there, didn't he?
That's right. Well, he really loved the place, and the more time I spend here, I can well understand anyone wanting to live here because it's beautiful. There's hills and they're green, and although the weather isn't as warm up here, it's nicer. It's a nicer atmosphere, and the people are nicer. They really are.
Well, listen, many, many congratulations, Alan. Tremendous. Who's that?
Oh, it's our unit setting up. They're laying down tracks, putting up lights and all that sort of thing. They do it very noisily. That's a surprise to people put up with us.
I was just going to say, I wouldn't argue with her, whoever she is. She's
Simon. I keep telling her to stop shouting.
What's her name?
Simon.
Simon.
Yeah, hold on. Simon! Shouting. They hear you on the radio.
Hello,
Peter. Say hello to West Yorkshire. Hello, West Yorkshire.
Who is this?
Peter Salis.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I've no idea who you are. He said West Yorkshire.
I'm Peter Levy, and you're live on the radio at the moment.
How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Are you?
Yes, thank you.
Are you
on? I've just been called onto the set, which is a privilege in itself.
Well,
there are a lot of policemen here and people in yellow jackets. Yeah. It looks Simon. Oh, and Simon. Yes.
She's got a very loud voice as Simon, hasn't she?
Yes, well, you need it because we're asleep most of the time.
do you just sleep in your caravan when you're not required?
Oh, yeah. I sleep and eat. That's our motto.
Well, listen, we rang to say congratulations on 30 years of Summer Live.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. Yeah, it's just a long time, isn't it? Yes.
What are you doing in this particular episode that you're doing this morning?
Well, we have a lady visitor who used to be Truly's, used to live next door to Truly when he was married, and she's followed him to Firth or wherever our town is. And she's trying to pick up with him. Truly has had one marriage, which was a disaster, and he really doesn't want to get involved with anybody else. Basically, that's what the story is about, yes. Mm.
Well, listen, Peter, thank you for many...
I better hand you back to Alan Bell, because if I don't, he won't do any work. I'll say goodbye. Nice to talk to
you. Nice to talk to you, Peter.
All right, bye-bye.
Alan... Alan, thank you very much indeed. It's been fabulous talking to you this morning.
Lovely speaking with you too.
And happy anniversary, 30 years of Summer One.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
Bye. There we are. That's Alan J. Bell, the producer. Also, Bert Kwok, who plays Entwistle. He's not been on screen yet, but will be in the new year when the programme returns. And, of course, the veteran actor Peter Salis as well. It's 11:29. Let's get the latest on the roads.
Well, traffic easing off.